Also, if you ever forgot about what the fullness of Jesus looks like, it looks like this. He's wise. He's our rock. He's pure. He's love. He's grace. He's the King. He's present. He's patient. He's steadfast. He is just. He is good. He is holy. He is hope. He is light. He is love. He is faithful. He forgives. He is perfect. He is kind. He is our friend. This is just a little bit about who the fullness of God is. All right? He is our judge. He is the truth. He talks to us. All right? He talks to us. That's part of who he is. That's part of the fullness. All of who this is. Forgiving, just, good, kind, talks to us. Isn't that amazing? That's the fullness of God. Who is offered for all people. Offered for all people. Offered for all people. That's why I get excited about this. This fullness talks to us. Talks to me. Talks to you. Talks to all of us. All right? Not only does he talk to us, he is full of compassion. He is our defender. He reveals truth. He is ever present. He is slow to anger. He knows all things, which makes slow to anger so important. Isn't that amazing? Slow to anger, but he knows all things. He knows everything that has gone on in your life, and he is still slow to anger, and he's still willing to talk to us. This is the fullness of Jesus. This is the fullness of Jesus that I want us to offer to people. This is the fullness, okay? So he knows all things. He offers us freedom. He offers us joy. He is the light of the world. In him there is no darkness. He does not change. He never changes. It doesn't matter how often we change. He never, ever changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the fullness of Christ. He is everywhere. He is with us. He is with us. He is with you. This is the fullness of Christ. So when we talk about what it is that we have to offer people, we have all of who God is because he is alive in us. This is the fullness of Christ. He is with us. He is everlasting. He is not burdensome. He is supreme. He is our healer. He is our Savior. He is our teacher. And he listens to me. He says, call to me and I will answer you. And I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you didn't know. This is the relationship that Jesus Christ invites us into. He invites us into it because he is our Savior. He extends his hand and he says, come and follow me. Come, come, everyone. And I look at this pile and I'm like, this isn't even all of who Jesus is. This is who he invites us into because he is merciful. He is our deliverer. He is our counselor. He is our comforter. He is the righteous one. He is the bread of life. He is the creator. He is our shield. I ran out of paper. Yeah. He weeps with. So not only is he great and mighty and big and awesome, the creator of the world, everlasting to everlasting, the Alpha and the Omega, he sits with us and weeps with us when our hearts break, when our kids don't do what we want them to do, when work is not going right, when we've lost a husband or a wife or a family member. He sits and he weeps with us. This is the fullness of Christ. This is the God that we serve. So when we talk about the brokenness that is in this world, this is who calls us into relationship with him, the one who weeps with us. And lastly, our provider. He says, come to me. He says, I will provide everything you ever need if you would just come to me. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we want to bring to the world. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, because this is who he is. This is who he is. And when we get a hold of who he is, I can't help but just exude out to people what God is and how much he loves us. He is a personable God. He weeps with us. He sits with us. I was with a... Okay, I'm going to start preaching. You can go sit down. Shelly, I'm just going to share a little bit of our conversation about Jesus. I'm sitting with Shelly. Ken is in the hospital. And she says to me, when I prayed this week, all I could pray was the name of Jesus. I said, that's a good prayer. Because let me tell you about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. Those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess in your heart that Jesus is Lord and believe in your, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess in heaven and earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If all you can get out is Jesus, that's good. Because of who he is. This is who Jesus is. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be reminded about who Jesus is so then I can tell other people about who Jesus is. Because when we talk about making change, we got to get this right first. We need to experience the fullness of God, and this is what he offers. So when we understand what he offers, then I need to look inside my life and I'm like, God, I need you. I need you. So, I just get so excited about who Jesus is because he offers us this peace. He offers us this peace that when we put our hope in him, this is all that he gives to us that we can experience. Full wholeness of life. The Bible says in John 10:10 that I have come that you might have life and life to the full. And yes, Marty stole my verse. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. That's what he offers us. Isn't that amazing? And then it says, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. That's what he offers. That we would know his fullness, his mercy, his grace, his love, his never-endingness, his creativeness, his power, his provision. That's what he offers us to know. So are you experiencing that? Are you experiencing his power and grace and love and fullness and provision? And the question is, if you're not experiencing it, what are you full of? It's a valid question. And sometimes I ask myself that. I'm like, okay, Lord, I need you to search my heart. At the end of Psalm 139, it says, search my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me. Because I want to experience all of what this is, all of who Jesus is. But if there's anything offensive in me, I'm not going to experience the fullness of that. And so we looked at enemies of the heart. What's in my heart that's preventing me from experiencing the fullness of who God is? What is there? Because it says, if you want to put that verse up next, it says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do comes and flows from it. So is there guilt? Is there anger? Is there greed? Is there jealousy? Is that junk in there? Because if that's in there, it's going to stop me from experiencing the goodness and grace of God. So it needs to go. It needs to go. Those sermons are all online. I'm not going to repeat them. You can go back and listen to them. But that's part of this journey, right? That's part of this journey. If we're called to experience the fullness of God, if you are close to the brokenhearted, if you tell us to throw off everything so we can experience your fullness, what's in my heart that needs to go so I can experience your fullness? So we looked at those four things, guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy, and then we slid into this next question, which says, does your finances bring you freedom or fear? Because if there's fear in your life with regards to finances, are you truly experiencing the fullness of Christ? Have you surrendered your finances to the Lord? And several times we have said finances tend to be the number one marriage killer. Because finances actually rate higher than God. Because we can say, oh yeah, we want the fullness of Christ in all things in our life, but I'm going to do whatever I want with my money. Those two things don't go together. That's one of those enemies in the heart. So we're saying, you know what? We need to make a change in the way that we think about money. And I needed that sermon series just as much as maybe one or two of you. And I went to the classes on Monday night, and I'm sitting there, I'm listening to the verses that's coming out, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I need to surrender fully to God. So we did this sermon series, Making Change, for the purpose of asking God to help us make significant changes in the way we manage the resources that He has entrusted to us so that together we can experience the fullness of God. That's why we did that sermon series, so we can experience the fullness of God surrendering all things money to Him, so that that doesn't become a stumbling block to experiencing His fullness. Because tomorrow matters. Period. Tomorrow, I know, I tried to find a verse in the Bible that said tomorrow matters. There isn't one. There isn't one. Abraham Lincoln says this. He says, you can't escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. Not in the Bible. Just in case you wondered. Abraham Lincoln, not in the Bible. Is that truth? Yes. Then someone named Jennifer said this. She says it all the time. Your future self will thank your past self for what you did in the present. Also, not in the Bible. So when we talk about the fact that tomorrow matters, right, because we always talk about don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of yourself. Worry about today. Well, that can sometimes create in our minds, well, I can spend whatever I want to today because tomorrow's going to take care of itself. No, I don't think so. Not in that way. Because what the Bible does say is, I know, the printer, I'll just blame this on the printer and not on my eyesight. All right. What the Bible does say is that a wise person stores up oil so that he has something in the future. That's what it does say. The Bible also says, I love this passage, you sluggard, look at the ant. Look at the ant. See how they store up for the future, so they have a harvest in the winter? That's what the Bible does say. So we're supposed to store up so that we are prepared, but not to the point that it limits what God is calling us to do today. So we need the both and. We need to store up and be prepared, but we also need to be ready to give what God asks us to give. Because tomorrow does matter. And unless the Lord comes back today and we're all in good health and can carry on till tomorrow, tomorrow will eventually come in 12, 13 and a half, 15 minutes. Tomorrow will be here. So what you do today really does affect tomorrow. So in reality, your future self will thank your past self for what you're doing in the future today. So how do you get financial peace then? If tomorrow really matters, if we're to experience the fullness of God, how do we get financial peace? My first statement is this. Number one, you need to pray. That's always my go-to because it is the truth. We are to pray about everything. We are to thank, we're to confess, and to ask. We're to thank God for what he has given to us. We are to confess how we may have misused it or that we don't know how to use it. I got my paycheck on Friday because I learned this from the class that we're taking on Monday nights. And I put the amount that came in and I went paid, 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 paid. And oh, how exciting. There was money left over. I like it when that happens. So there's money left over. And normally what I would do is I would just leave it in the pot for whatever happens. And I felt convicted to do this. Dear Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do with the leftover? Because I realized it wasn't my money that God was entrusting to me an access. So what do you want me to do with it, Lord? Do you want me to save it? Do you want me to give it? Do you want me to spend it? And he showed me. I was like, okay, that's nice. Because sometimes when God tells you something, you don't normally necessarily feel overwhelmed with joy and excited. Because sometimes, yeah, yes, go and spend the money on that XYZ that you want. It doesn't always happen. But sometimes it does. But are we even willing to ask? So we ask, God, how would you have me to spend this money that you've entrusted to me? So that's the first thing that you do, because the Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault or without reproach, and it will be given to you. So we just need to ask God for wisdom. How do you want me to spend money? The second thing that we need to do is we need to get out of debt so that we can actually experience the fullness of God and what he's calling us to. And he is more than able to help us get out of debt if we're willing to actually sit down and do the work, because the borrower is servant to the lender. And the only servant that we should be servant to is God. So that brings me to number three. How do you get out of debt? Well, you need to plan, which is a big word, or a four-letter word for an even bigger word, budget. And sometimes when people say budget, it's like vomit in their mouth. Right? It's like they're coughing up a hairball. You want me to do what? You want me to budget? Really? Can I just trust God? Well, trust God to help you make a budget. And then, okay, so just in case you're wondering, Luke 14:28 says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? So make a plan. Like when your paycheck comes in, make a plan and then stick to it. And then be happy about it. Because I have learned the secret of being content in every and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Don't grumble about the budget. Especially if you ask the Lord about the budget, because then you're grumbling about the Lord. And just in case you wonder what the Lord did with the grumblers, he opened up the ground and they went down, covered up the ground, and done with them. So no grumbling, okay? I like to see you all in church next Sunday. I don't want to have to ask, did the ground, did we have any earthquakes this week? So be happy about it. Be happy about the fact that the Lord is providing for your needs and with you and him, because he listens to you. We already said that. He's going to work with you to actually do amazing and awesome things. But you got to be willing to plan and budget and be happy about it. Which brings me to the fourth step in how to have financial peace. So he said, pray, get out of debt, plan, and then save. John Wesley said, work all you can so you can save all you can, so you can give all you can. So save. Plan on saving. Ask the Lord, how much money should I save? And what we mean by saving is we don't mean buy something and so that is now like your savings bank. All my savings is in the snowmobile. And when I need it, I'll just sell it. That's not savings. All right? Just in case you're thinking, well, I could save money that way. I know exactly where it is. That's not saving. Put it in the bank. Put it in something financial. Greg's laughing at me because he knows that I really don't really know after the bank what it is. Like something. Ryan's also laughing at me because I sat with Ryan, who was my financial planner for a while, and I just said, Ryan, I have no idea. Just help me. And I trusted Ryan, and he helped me. Really? So wise people in your life. You don't know how to save? Ask wise people how to save, and they'll help you. Number five. There we go. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp down theirs. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. So we save for the future, for our children. We save for our children so that they can experience God's graciousness to them as well. And then finally, we give. I love this passage from the message. So we pray, we get out of debt, we plan a budget and stick to it cheerfully. Number four is we save, and number five is we give. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. So when we do all of things, we are able to give and further God's kingdom in amazing and awesome ways. But we have to do the first four things first. We can't really give if we don't have anything to give. Well, we give by saving, and we can save by planning, and we plan when we get out of debt, when we pray. So to experience the fullness of God in our finances, we need to be doing those five things. And so if you need some further help, Right Now Media has Love, Money, and Hope, which is what we've been doing on Monday nights in Room 111. And we have one more night left, which is Advisors with Purpose. So we're going to be talking about wills and future planning and how do we do that kind of thing. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. We also have free books. I like free books. It's called The Blessed Life or Beyond Blessed. They're at the Connection Desk. I've heard this man speak. I've read both of his books. Very challenging. Very challenging when it talks about giving and what is our responsibility with the money that God has entrusted us to. So that's a free resource at the back. We also have financial coaches available. Because you might be thinking, I'm not really experiencing peace in my finances. And if you're not experiencing peace in your finances, you can't really experience the fullness of Christ. Because he isn't the Lord. Your finances are rising up out of a place of anxiety and pushing out everything that God is. And so the question is, am I experiencing the fullness of God? And if not, what am I experiencing? Are we really experiencing the fullness of God in our finances? Are we experiencing the fullness of God in our life? Are we experiencing the fullness of God in our heart, in our interactions with our friends and family? What are we experiencing? And how do we experience the fullness of God? Because I always like to answer the question. First thing is this. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? That's always the first question. And if you want to get to know Jesus, the prayer is this. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to get to know you. Would you teach me about yourself? Just like that. That's where it starts. So easy. You don't have to know everything about Jesus to ask him, can you teach me about yourself? Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, would you teach me about yourself? I don't know a whole lot about you. I had one young girl say to me, I come to church so I can learn about Jesus. God, would you teach me about who you are? The second thing that you do is do you have a good idea of what the Bible teaches? And do you live it out? The Bible is full of who God is and experience his fullness. The third thing is talk to God about number one. Teach me about what your word says. I read stuff, but I don't get it. Would you teach me? The fourth thing is this. Have people in your life that do number one and number two. This week, I experienced life with people who are doing number one and number two, and they taught me more about who God is. Number five, say no to the things that don't encourage one, two, or three. And I know we've seen this slide before, but it's still true. Say no to things that don't encourage one, two, or three, and I guarantee you will start experiencing the fullness of God in ways that you've never experienced. ways you've never experienced. And so as the worship team comes up, I want you to think about those questions on the screen. Am I experiencing the fullness of God in my life? Do I have peace in my finances? Have I surrendered all these things to God? And if I'm not experiencing the fullness of Christ, what am I full of? What needs to go? Where do we need to open up our hearts to the Lord Jesus and say, would you come in and would you clean it out so I can experience the fullness of your Holy Spirit? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. You are supreme. You are the provider. You are good. You talk to us. You are the revealer. You are the creator. You are our help. You are our shield. You are the tower that we run to when we are in trouble. You are the name that we call when we need help. You are the giver of all good things. You are our rock and our redeemer. You are the one that makes us right with you. There is so much more to your greatness that we can ever imagine or understand. And so, Father, as we come before you, would you teach us about your grace? And the fact that we don't have to know everything. We can just come to you. We can just come to you. And you teach us because you love us. And so, Lord God, would you stir up your truth in your heart our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you help us to long for your fullness, to get rid of the things that so easily entangle, hold us back, so that we can press forward, go forward, run after the things of you, the fullness of you. Lord, where finances have been a god in our life, would you convict us, kick us in the butt, shake us up, Lord, because our eyes aren't on you if our eyes are on our finances. And so, Lord, would you help us to talk to you about our finances, to surrender them to you. Lord God, would you help us to get out of debt so that we can plan and save and give the way you want us to plan and save and give for your kingdom so even more people can come to know you. So, Father God, move our hearts. Spirit of the living God, help us to experience the fullness of all you are. In your name we pray. Amen. The prayer rails are available during this time, that if you feel that you want to come forward and pray to experience more of who Christ is, or maybe you need to confess something, or maybe you just want to intercede for someone, then the prayer rails are available. This is a place to get right with God, to intercede, to come forward, to represent someone else. But God is here. He said, call to me. So we're going to call to him. We're going to call to him in song. We're going to call to him in prayer. And we're going to believe that Jesus is going to meet with us when we call to him.